Coming up on today's show, we're going to catch up on some Disney news and sprinkle in a few other fun Disney things. That's coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 468 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam. I'm your host this week, and I am joined, as always, by John.
Marvelous new ideas. You never know what kind of figment you'll come up with. He's my favorite.
Kind of sound like Dreamfinder.
Yeah, I can't really do a good Dreamfinder. Who can?
Close.
Given the voice was, what was it, the... Wasn't he like that leprechaun-looking thing from He-Man or whatever? It was the same guy in the 80s movie.
Yeah.
That was the same guy that voiced him, I think. Or maybe he was Figment.
Right. Well, not to start the episode off on a somber note, but I had just found out about Pete Renaday passing away at 89.
Must have happened right about the time we recorded the last show then.
He passed away September 8th, so a little over a week ago. Yeah, very sad because, you know, voiced the original Henry among many other famous Disney
Well, he did Henry in the, gosh, I guess three of the, there's only been four show iterations, including the current one. So he was the voice of Henry in three out of the four, was he not? Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, he was Max the Deer in Henry in Country Bear Jamboree, and says here he was Abraham Lincoln in the Hall of Presidents.
Really?
Which, if I remember correctly, I don't know, does Lincoln always speak? So I'm trying to think, is he still the voice of Lincoln?
Lincoln may have changed over the years. Maybe it was the original Lincoln.
I have to rewatch. Sadly, I don't really do Hall of Presidents anymore, but he was Captain Nemo on 20,000 Leagues, which kind of makes sense. I do seem like that sounds like his voice on the old videos we have of 20,000 Leagues.
All I can say is the last time that I went in the Hall of Presidents was the first time they decided to use the sitting president, so... That tells you how long ago that was.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think if I've seen it since then. I know I've watched, like, the video online of it, but actually go in and see the show, it's long time. Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh says he was the narrator at Magic Kingdom, Disneyland, and Hong Kong Disneyland versions.
Oh, so he's still there, sounds like.
I kind of rewatched that one now, too, just to see if I
pick out his voice.
Like, the video.
Oh, okay.
Ride through, sorry. People Mover, he was the narrator from 94 to 2009, which, don't you have a video of that era?
Yeah. So you said 94 to 2009? So he was, welcome aboard, TTA Travelers. That would have been him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can kind of pick out that voice now that once I think about it, when I listen to it in my head, basically. I just never realized it was the same as Henry at the time, but now I can see it since I know. It's one of those things that now that I know it's him, I can tell that it's him.
It also says in Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters, he's Space Ranger.
Space Ranger?
Not sure what that means, but...
There's nobody in there named Space Ranger.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who that is.
Are we talking about Buzz?
I know, I'm like, who?
Buzz is the only one I know that talks besides Zurg.
Right.
I'm very trying little to think of what Zurg.
Is he
in the aliens? About? And all they say is ooh and stuff like that.
If he voiced the Buzz Lightyear, though, I'm like, he does a pretty good Tim Allen, because even though I complain about it.
No, that is not him. Yes, I know.
Even though I do complain about it, I'm
Adam likes to point out that I can tell that's not the actor.
But I wouldn't have guessed it was Pete Renaday. So interesting. Anyway, hopefully his voice will live on and is at least some of these.
Is the Woody, you know, that talks to you when you enter Toy Story Land, is he not good enough for your liking?
Yeah, it's Tom Hanks' brother, though, Jim. At least according to Tom Hanks, that's what he said. Everything that's not the movies is his brother, Jim.
Well, I guess he can do a good enough job then. Sounds like
Woody brothers, so.
Yes, sir. You probably use a little auto-tune or whatever you use to clean it up a bit.
It's clear that it's not Tom Hanks, but it's, you know.
What about Sally?
Who are you talking about?
Jesse.
Mean,
I'm sorry.
Jesse? Okay. I was
good
like,
Lord, why did I say Sally? Where did I get Sally? I, like, I meant Jesse.
Yes. Joan Cusack.
Yes, that's the one I was talking about.
But yeah, I think that's her voice in Toy Story Land.
Or maybe she was done by John Cusack.
Her brother.
Her brother.
Possibly. It'd be kind of hard. You'd really have to auto-tune that to make it sound.
Although you can tell they favor enough that you can tell that they're siblings.
That does bring up an interesting point, though, is could AI be used in the future to replicate, you know, someone's voice that may no longer be with us, or a younger version, for example, like Harrison Ford, which he'd probably never agree to Disney using his voice without getting paid a ton of money.
Before he passed, didn't James Earl Jones agree to that? Didn't he, like...
I don't know, but they...
I could have sworn I remember seeing a story about that.
For example, in Rogue One, where he does the line of, "Don't choke on your aspirations," or whatever, that line, you can tell he's much older. Like, you can hear the voice that...
Right.
You know, it's a much older person voicing Vader. Could you redo that to where it's, like, time period...
Sounds
like New Hope.
I think they should redo all of Vader's to sound like the original David Prowse.
Lines. Yeah, Scottish guy. There's some clips out there of David Prowse doing the voice, and it's really terrible.
It's strange. It's strange after you hear James Earl Jones.
Yeah. "You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away." You know, it's nothing like...
"You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away."
Yeah.
Much better
than James Earl Jones. And it's funny, well, I know we're going off like we usually do, but...
What, tangent?
Yes. But James Earl Jones, did we talk about that? Because he passed away recently, too.
I believe we mentioned it in the previous episode, yes.
Okay. So another famous Disney voice, because of Mufasa in particular.
I was going to say, this one didn't gain as much... Henry didn't gain as many headlines.
Yeah, because I didn't know about it until now, unfortunately.
Yeah, he just kind of snuck under the radar, unfortunately.
To me, he should be a Disney legend because of Country Bear Jamboree, but he's all the other stuff he contributed. But anyway, James Earl Jones, Mufasa, like Lion King, as I said, was like my jam.
Ooh, you are.
Like, even I still get teary eyed in Happily Ever After when they put that part up. That and Robin Williams' voice as Genie at the, "Friend Like Me" part always gets me because,
yeah,
you know, takes you back to the...
Well, and two, I remember when the series came out for Aladdin, that you could, when you didn't have Robin Williams doing the voice, it was not the same.
Yeah.
You remember that when Aladdin the series came out? And then I think the first sequel, that guy also did the voice, whoever it was, I'm not sure.
But I forgot who it was, but yeah, Return of Jafar, yeah, it was clearly not Robin Williams.
Yeah, it just wasn't the same.
But then King of Thieves, or what was it called? Prince of Thieves, King of Thieves?
I think it was King of Thieves. He
came back and it was like, oh, this is cool, yeah. Was that straight to video?
It was. That's the way it always went back. And there was no such thing as a Disney animated sequel.
Right. Because
in this
Walt
era.
Didn't believe in sequels. And then Eisner was like, yeah, we're going to make money off these, but we're going to
honor Walt in a way by not making them a official release or whatever.
And then Iger is like, screw that.
we're going to make as many sequels as possible.
We're going to beat this horse until there's nothing left.
Right.
Anyway.
So, yes, there's an obvious difference in strategy when it comes to to IP.
Just to nerd out some more on voiceover, I was watching something on James Earl Jones the other day, and it was just the evolution of Darth Vader from the New Hope to Empire in particular. Like, the voice is, like, so much better. I think the quality is better just because they had more money to do Empire Strikes Back. But, and then Return of the Jedi, even more so, the way he voiced that character gave it so much more depth.
Yeah.
Anyway, such a cool character, and of course Mufasa.
You know, it's always funny to me when people say that if Walt were alive things, but that is definitely something that he would like. God, that's probably the thing he'd probably like hate the most is the sequels.
Sequels. Yeah.
He would probably hate that. He would Yeah. He would hate the fact that they're making sequel after sequel after sequel.
He'd probably feel like he's selling, they're selling out or that, which, you know, I don't think Walt ever was all about the money. I don't think that was his ever, his
Well, he would have gone broke if it hadn't been for Roy, but.
Right. Oh, that's true. Yeah, his big ideas.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, again, they weren't money focused back then, but anyway, moving on. Let me hit some park news really quick, because Rivers of America, that whole project, that was recently in the news where the state of Florida requests more details on their permits, what it looks like. So it doesn't necessarily mean they're trying to push back on this necessarily. It just means that they're needing more information before they can proceed, it looks like. I don't know if this is a nothing story or not, you know. They're trying to make it seem like it might be, though, right?
I think it's just more informational, saying that there is a possibility of a hiccup in the plans. This is stuff we used to would not hear about, though. That's the only difference.
Right.
Like in this nowadays, day and age, you get people that are close to it that have sites that report, and they report on it because they have to report something daily. They report on absolutely everything they possibly can.
Yeah, I see certain things about dewatering, but they wanted more details on that, which...
Yeah.
Maybe Disney was trying to be cagey on the details initially because they knew that information would get out and that all the news reports would be...
Yeah, there's no such thing as stuff that doesn't get out these days, that's for sure. Can't keep anything quiet.
Right. Maybe they were trying to keep it less detailed on purpose. And now,
I mean,
now
you remember back when Magic Carpets was being built... Like, we never even got any much details on exactly what it was while the construction walls were even up. You couldn't even tell exactly what it was, other than it was based on Aladdin.
Right. Yeah, the theming, you could figure out, like, what you could see of it, yeah.
But you didn't even really know it was going to be a spinner that early. I mean, they were practically building the thing before you found out it was a spinner.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, like, back in the day when, say, Space Mountain was being built, did they announce what it was going to be? Or people just like, I wonder what that thing is going to be.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's, I mean, they probably find out like local newspapers and stuff like that. And a lot of times the stuff in the local newspapers would make it to other newspapers and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And make national news like the, you know, the right. Nightly news type thing. Some of the stuff would, but that was stuff that they could choose when it got out though.
Right.
You know what I mean? They could actually leak what they wanted
right
at that point in time.
Yeah. And then Disneyland, you know, the TV show, they would at least have talked about it.
Yeah, to some degree.
Kind of do almost like a D23 presentation of...
Like a lot of times they would give you these things. Like I remember Test Track when they said, this is coming to Epcot. I was like, yeah, that looks pretty cool and everything. But I had no idea it was replacing World of Motion. Then I was not thinking, oh, so fond of it at the time. At that point, but because I was going to miss World of Motion, but it was what it was.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Yeah, we wouldn't have known.
I think one of the first major things internet-wise that I remember seeing a story about was really with the whole Horizons, like when it was being like the...
Yeah.
It's like the deconstruction photos is what people would do on message boards where you would find this.
Right. Yeah, you would have to dig deep back in the day.
Yeah.
Because there weren't so many news sites talking about every little... blade of grass that changes. You'd have to dig into these forums.
You know what I like so much better about message boards versus social media is they were topic based. Like you put something in the thread, like if you didn't care about that topic, you didn't go to that thread.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It didn't get shoved in your face. You know, it just, you know.
That's kind of the, I guess, how Reddit is now, where it's a little bit kind of like a giant message board. You dig into a topic that you're interested in versus endless feed of stuff that you get on social media that's supposedly tailored to you.
Not always the case.
Rich, I wanted to talk about the Emmys a little bit. I mean, I don't really watch a ton of TV, so it's like, but Disney...
Why are we doing this?
Well, because Disney earned 60, a record-breaking.
Well, of course 60 they earned 60. Awards. They own everything, though. How do you not get it?
Right.
It's not because they started putting quality stuff on their channels that they already owned. It's that they own everything now.
Yeah, it's not just Disney. It's a lot of it was Hulu, FX, that kind of thing.
See? Just because of all the entities they own.
Right. So the show Shogun won 18 Emmys, and that's Hulu FX, The Bear, which I've heard a lot about that show. It's also Hulu FX. And they need to watch, I keep forgetting to watch this on Disney Plus, Jim Henson, Idea Man.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched that yet. It won 5 Emmys.
Here recently, I haven't. I just, like, don't watch TV.
Yeah. The Oscars telecast won an Emmy. I'm like, okay, that's weird. Some other stuff, mostly FX and Hulu, though. But Ahsoka got an Emmy for costumes.
Okay. Yeah, nomination or got a
got a win.
It won. Got a win. Okay.
Trying to see what's, besides Jeopardy got one for Outstanding Game Show.
Okay.
On ABC. Apparently it's owned by ABC.
For right there, I thought you were going to say oldest game show, but I guess it's really not. It's one of the oldest.
Is it the oldest running game show that's still running?
I don't know. Wheel of Fortune's still running.
What about Price is Right? How long is that one?
Oh, yeah. That one's been around a long time.
Anyway.
However, it's only had two hosts, so I guess, right? Because Drew Carey's still doing it, from what I understand. So
think so. That reminds me. There's a Happy Gilmore 2. Is Drew Carey going to be in Happy Gilmore 2?
You know, I went to take Bob Parker's place. Yeah.
That'd be funny. Anyway, Shark Tank. I'm trying to see. There's
you
a
know,
couple
speaking,
of Marvel
Speaking
stuff.
Of when you were talking about the game shows, I didn't know until just the other day when it was on in my in-law's house that Wheel of Fortune, that Pat Sajak had retired, and Ryan Seacrest is now the host.
Oh,
I didn't
course.
Even know that.
Because who else would host anything? Except, like, he just takes over everything. Wow.
Well, Van is still there.
Wow. Well, okay. Ryan Seacrest can do both, but he would if he could, I guess. He's going to host and go up and spin the... Well, I guess you just tap the things now. You don't literally spin them anymore.
But he's not exactly a spring chicken anymore now, so...
True.
I guess this is a show that he's perfect for him.
But he took over for Dick Clark. He took over now for Pat Sajak. He's taken over... Didn't he take over for Regis for a while?
All right, we're not talking about Disney now, so... Listen.
Okay. Anyway, so 60 Emmys. I think they had 180 nominations, but yes, it's because mainly sounds like.
Well, like I said, they own every network. I mean, it's like when you have half the shows on TV, of course, it's not hard to be nominated that many times.
Yeah. So there you go.
I'm really surprised that they didn't get blocked in some of their acquisitions to, you know, for it to be considered to be a monopoly.
Well, not totally, but I mean, with this many awards and nominations, it's starting to look that way. Speaking of things coming back, doesn't it? Does it? Doc Ondar is back.
Where did he go?
He was just behind a curtain for.
He was on vacation,
like 5 months.
Pay no attention to that. What's his
Man
species?
Oh, that's a good.
I forgot what he is.
Yeah, I forgot.
I'm not that versed in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, oh, we're not that nerdy, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Someone out there knows his. Someone out there I know this. Maybe even that listens to this and knows his
species. Let's see. It's a.
You just looked it up.
I am. I'm on Wikipedia. He's an Ithorian.
Okay, he's an Ithorian. Pay no attention to that Ithorian behind the curtain.
Which they have this weird, like, hammerhead looking head. Anyway,
I think George Lucas was on acid when he came up with some of these the way these creatures.
Well, I think like Phil Tippett probably came up with that character, and he may have been on
actually. Didn't he get a lot of this stuff from Jim Henson's Creature Shop? Did he collaborate with him?
It's possible, later? But this looks like something Phil Tippett probably made back in the day.
But that wasn't until Empire.
It may not have been when they moved up to Northern California, possibly.
Because Yoda is definitely a. Jim Henson creation.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah. What was I saying? Oh, he's back because, that animatronic was not working for a long time. And now he's back to counting his money.
Didn't he interact with folks sometimes? I never thought he did.
I've only seen him, count stuff and then, like, look at inventory and then I've never seen him interact with the guests, but maybe he has some other stuff. Mystery construction at Woody's Lunchbox.
Mystery?
Yeah, because it's not really clear what they're doing. It's like the whole seating area is now demolished and they're redoing it.
Maybe it'll have shade.
Right. What we're hoping is shelter from the rain and shade.
Yeah. Hoping it has a roof over its head.
That's one of the main reasons I don't go there right now is because there's not a lot of tables and no shade from the rain either.
One of those old videos of Epcot, right? I just, when I go back and look and I see the American Gardens Theater with without a roof on it, I'm like, that had to have been torture for the performers that did that back in the day. I don't know when it gained its roof, but I was like, when you look in the early 80s especially, though, it's like, man, that had to have been rough.
Yes.
They probably didn't have as many performances out there either, but.
Yeah, maybe not. I can't imagine. For the two or three years, the teacups weren't covered at Magic Kingdom either. It's kind of like,
yeah,
what were they thinking?
Yeah.
But anyways, the other thing that came out this week was the DVC pricing for the Polynesian Tower.
It came out this week?
Yeah.
Didn't they also announce the dates when they were going to start selling things, like starting October the 1st, I think. There were certain dates that October the 1st was the first day of selling.
Yes. December 17th is the first, the opening day of the tower.
Okay.
So starting then, you can book. And if you want to book that day, a duo studio, which is, it says sleeps up to two. So is that like those Riviera studios? Looks like.
It's got to be.
So we're talking. Like those
tower studios is what they call them over there.
Yeah. So it says sleeps up to two. Those are 16 minimum points a night for the opening week.
Less is more, right?
Weekend rate goes up 2 points, so 18 points. For the weekly, it's 116 points for that. That's like the lowest. But if you want a two-bedroom penthouse villa, it's going to run you 102 points a night or 748 points for a week.
Do we have a breakdown as to what that is in Dalal?
I don't. I'm just looking at points. But I guess if you're doing, what is the standard, $18 a point?
Somewhere where that range, 17, 18. Just say 18.
So you're looking at 288 a night for the duo studio?
That can't be right.
Well, for DVC, I mean, cash price would probably be double that.
Yeah.
Because they always say it saves around 50%. So 576 a night for one of those that sleeps two.
Yeah.
Right.
That sounds about what you would expect in this day and age, yes.
So for a deluxe studio.
You know, I can't help but still think whenever, like, you could put the Polynesian in front of like a four-year-old or something and say, which one of these things is not like the other one? And it'd be pretty obvious that the tower doesn't belong.
Well, it has the more modern look that they've kind of been going for lately.
It doesn't fit.
Anyway, so to compare that to the bungalow for that week, the bungalow is 26 points more.
The bungalow is 26 points
than
more.
Than the two-bedroom penthouse in the tower. So bungalow is still the most expensive room versus the tower.
That's another thing, though. I wasn't, like, rough on them initially or anything like that, but as time has gone on, I'm like, the bungalows are just an eyesore. They've ruined the view.
Yeah. Remember when you used to get stand on that hill up there and, like, watch Electric Water Pageant or the fireworks? And
yeah.
People got married up there. I guess they probably still do, but.
There might be, yeah. It's not the same view, though.
Yes.
Because you have the bungalows there.
Yeah.
It's just not the same.
Although, one of these days, I would love to stay in a bungalow and watch the Electric Water Pageant from there, because from the balcony.
Like I say, again, maybe it's just the nostalgia talking, but I feel like Polly's one of those that the more they do to it, the worse it gets.
Yeah, you mentioned
it's
that
one
before.
Of those, less is more, Ranch.
Right. But it's so popular right now. It's soared in popularity.
Oh, yeah.
In the last few years.
It was always popular, though. That's just it. But it's, yeah.
Well, there was a time, though, I guess like 10 years ago or so, where they did so much work to it that I don't know that it was always.
Well, yeah, when it was a construction zone. I mean, yeah, a lot of people avoid places that are construction zone.
Yeah. And that's probably the last time I stayed there was, what, 2016, I think it was? 17, 16, somewhere in there.
16 was when I stayed there last, when I actually stayed there, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the same year we did.
I think it was the last time I could justify the price.
Right. Yeah, I think that was it, too.
Yeah.
But I'd love to go back. I mean.
Yeah, I just can't bring myself to pay what they ask.
But I guess they don't seem too terrible, because if you get a one-bedroom is somewhere in the 30 to 40 point range for a two-bedroom, it's 50 points. I don't really have... We need a Jason to tell us point-wise how they compare to the Riviera. But it doesn't seem terribly outrageous, but I'm sure it's higher than all the others.
I think just because it's the newest. Pali has officially become the resort that I will visit.
Yeah, I will definitely eat there because I love Kona and Captain Cook's and...
Trader Sam's, maybe?
Trader Sam's, yeah. The terrace, at least. Love it.
Yeah.
So, a couple of things. The affordable housing thing that's near Disney property, that there's one or two more public hearings, I think, coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that, where this might...
You mean where they have one of those things where people voice their displeasure or their concerns and then it totally gets ignored? Okay.
Probably. Or no one ever shows up and they just move on.
Or not enough people show up. And then they complain about it later.
Right.
That's usually how it was around here.
So this, though, will be off of Hartzog Road, which is the exit I usually get off of to go the western way.
What I've become familiar with over the last 15 years or so.
Yes. It's my preferred entrance to property.
Yeah, because I think the first time taking Western Way was probably around 08, 09, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, when did they build Western Way? It was shortly after Animal Kingdom opened. Is that when they did it?
No, I don't think it was that soon.
Mm-hmm.
It was around the time we had GPS.
Can't remember when that was. Mid-2000s, somewhere in there. 2005, 6, somewhere in there.
Well, I flew there in 08, so I don't think that would have been... I wouldn't have seen it then. So.
Yeah. So going from the one in Florida to out in California, they're building the... Catino, the storybook living,
yes.
Story living thing. They gave some new concept art of their Par house from The Incredibles. They're building like a replica of that, I guess.
They're building a replica of the one they used in the movie.
That's what it says.
I mean, that's just themed like a regular like house, right? I mean, nothing particular about it.
This is near Palm Springs, California. Where they're doing this, but so it says this like Incredibles looking house is going to be part of the community's voluntary artisan club, hosting events, celebrations, and limited overnight accommodations. The house itself takes inspiration from the mid-century modern home in Incredibles 2. So they basically, that's kind of cool. You could stay there. It sounds like, are they going to like Airbnb it
for a price.
Yeah, for a hefty price. But it looks like they'll just have community events and stuff there. But this is supposed to open next year, so we'll see.
I don't know. It feels like with a lot of the stuff that they do know, they just hear Gennaro's voice.
Right. Yeah, because now they're in the housing market and stuff, so who knows? It's like Disney, but...
And people will pay it.
Yeah. They need a coupon day, for real. Okay, so there's one thing I wanted to throw in since this is kind of just a random episode. Someone had posted the question if you could save any of these that are potentially on the chopping block, which one would it be? And one of the four, like the first question was out of Rivers of America, Muppets, Dinosaur, or... Tough to be a bug.
Oh.
What would you save?
If I could only pick one?
If you could save one of them from being demolished or repurposed or whatever.
I think I'm going to have to go with Rivers of America just because I feel like I would, you know...
Hmm.
I feel like...
Over Muppets?
Something like the riverboat has stood the test of time, maybe.
You can always go to Disneyland and ride a riverboat.
Well, that's true. If you're saying, if you're going to put it that way, I guess I could throw Muppets in there, but...
Yeah. That is a tough one because, well, first I would eliminate Tough to be a Bug because I'm fine with it switching to Zootopia.
Yeah, Tough to be a Bug was good for its time frame, but I just think it kind of,
yeah,
it just doesn't fit anymore. I mean, it still fits, I guess, but it's just not, I don't know, it's not as relevant. The IP isn't relevant really anymore, I guess.
So. Yeah, 3D shows aren't really a thing anymore. Like, it used to be like, oh, a new 3D show. It's like a e-ticket almost. Now it's
Funny how it goes in cycles.
Yeah. nobody will sit still long enough to do a 3D show. But that being said, I would probably keep Muppets. But anyway.
You keep a 3D show.
Yeah, maybe. Because Dinosaur, I'm fine with it being switched over to indie because they weren't taking care of it anyway. So
right,
they
If it could go back to its glory days, then I would say, yeah, keep it. But obviously, that's not going to happen, so.
Yeah, I would say either Rivers of America or Muppets, but probably Muppets.
Yeah.
Out of those four. So if you could go back in time and save something that has been replaced or...
I think we've already established this.
Do we even have to mention it?
We've established this many times.
It would be all of Epcot.
Yeah, most of Epcot. I'm not going to say all of Epcot, but most of it.
Horizons. If you only do one, it'd probably be
If Horizons, it's only do one, it's Horizons. Yeah, if you only do one, it's Horizons, no doubt. And I think it's easier to say Horizons because the replacement, even though it wasn't terrible, I mean, the replacement's so good in its own way, it's not as good as Horizons for people who experience both. I would even say as good as World of Motion was, they were probably okay with Test Track because Test Track was good, you know? Mm. So,
yeah. Interesting.
They're probably more okay with Test Track replacing World of Motion than Horizons being demolished in favor of Mission Space.
Yeah.
Even though each of these have been there longer than the originals, which just blows my mind.
Right. To think about that, like, the original attractions really didn't last that long.
No.
Sadly.
Horizons had... It opened in 83, so... And it was demolished by 99, right?
Yeah.
So that had 16 years. Then,
yeah. That's it, yeah.
16 years.
Sad.
And its replacement has now had 21 years. So, yeah.
What about Hollywood Studios? If there's anything you would save there from the original? Probably the Great Movie Ride for me. Although, I would still want Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. So, it's like...
So, you're torn there.
Right.
Yeah, I guess of the things that are gone, that's the thing that I cared about the most was Great Movie Ride. I mean, the Backlot Tour was...
It was okay.
Interesting at its time, but I mean, it had already been changed.
Yeah.
So many times.
There's nobody who would sit through that today.
Well, not the original one.
Yeah, especially not. But even
the last iteration, they probably would.
Well, I don't know. It's just, it's still kind of...
The last iteration only took like 30 minutes.
Yeah, but...
I mean, it was just a tram tour.
That's like... Rise of the Resistance is the only thing that is close to that in terms of
time.
And that's because you queue up again halfway through the
It's designed to be an experience, yeah. Interestingly right. enough that it takes up space that was
back
also
lot.
Part of the back lot.
Yeah, interesting. In the spirit, maybe that's why they did it that way.
Made it that long. Could, you know, I've looked at that map before. Could you think you could pick out exactly where stuff was? In Galaxy's Edge or War Toy Wonder. Story Land, like where it sits, like where it's marked.
Well, because
like where was Catastrophe Canyon in relation to Galaxy's Edge?
It's got to be somewhere where Rise of the Resistance was, right? It's in that vicinity.
I don't right? think so.
Lights, Motors, Action was on that side, and it was right
yeah,
behind that.
But no, I'm thinking Catastrophe Canyon was a little further back. I think it's actually closer to over where.
The marketplace is?
Gosh, I've seen it before. I feel like it was more like where Smugglers is in that general area, like where the Falcon is.
There are maps of
both
overlays where you can see.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I just haven't looked at it.
And
I could have sworn I've ever seen it before.
Now I'm blanking. I think it was like Docking Bay 7 is where the Golden Girls house was or something, if I remember right. Something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And...
Well, we know where New York Street was because you pretty much see still part of it right there where Baseline is.
Right.
The building right before you get to Baseline.
Yep.
And or into the building that's connected to Baseline.
We know that Earful Tower was over where Slinky Dog was because they reference it in the artwork at the loading dock of Slinky Dog. So it was in that area.
Yeah, it was in that general vicinity, yeah. So I was also part of the Backline Tour, just a question of what part.
Animal Kingdom, is there anything that's gone that we would... Camp Minnie Mickey, I think. I would definitely want to save that. Sad that went away to whatever's
right.
there now.
Yeah, you mean Pandora?
Oh, is that where that was?
No. Yeah. I don't think I ever visited Camp Meeting, to be honest with you.
I don't think I ever did either.
Yeah.
This is a map before they, or as the construction was going on. Dang it. Okay, so yeah, Catastrophe Canyon is still kind of, looks like backstage still, what currently is there.
You mean it's one of the spires?
Yeah. Okay, so actually looks like more like Smuggler's Run area.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Like it's almost where the Falcon is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. There's one building that's still there, a backstage building that I can reference.
I wonder where the Boneyard, can you tell from there where the Boneyard was? And we probably like walk all over where that was.
The Boneyard from...
That was right outside of Catastrophe Canyon. When I say Boneyard, I mean like old
props.
Oh,
like the props were sitting around. Yeah, it looks like Catastrophe Canyon was in the area that's kind of almost behind Smuggler's Run, but it might be some of the show building of Smuggler's Run. So like maybe one of the turntables from Smuggler's Run is part of Catastrophe Canyon.
Perhaps.
Or is close to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of backlot tour was like the wardrobe and stuff. That's all Toy Story Land.
Oh, yeah.
And Slinky Dog and stuff. So, anyway, sad to see it go.
I remember watching Light Smutter's actions from the top bleachers and hearing every like 5 minutes.
Yes, right.
Hearing the horn honk.
And it looks like the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids playground area is kind of just over where the A-Wing is and stuff, I guess.
Well, right in that same area was where the old, what was the name of that? Studio something? Studio Catering Company?
Yeah.
Was the name of it? The restaurant. And the in that same general vicinity was the statue of Daryl Hannah from Splash.
So, Splash, yeah. Okay, that was a weird segue, but...
We were getting nostalgic about the Hollywood Studios, apparently.
So, Magic Kingdom, if there's an old one we could revive there, I think it'd come down to two, probably.
What's the other one? Because I can think of Toad.
Toad and maybe 20,000 Leagues.
Maybe. 20,000 Leagues. Let's see. Where it was is now what? Is that, like, Be Our Guest, basically? Is that what's over there?
Yeah, I need to see an overlay now of that, too, just to make sure.
Because that's new right. Fantasy I think like Land Beast kinda... Castle and all that's the only thing that's over there. I mean, they kind of used a little bit of the area maybe to make way for Mine Train, but Mine Train mostly more took up, I thought, where Dumbo.
Yeah, that was. So I think, though, because they do have a nod to it in the queue for Little Mermaid Under the Sea, they have the Nautilus in the rock
world. Yeah, but that's. Well, yeah, but because that was the Pooh playground. They have the Nautilus and the rock work of Under the Sea. Yeah. So Under the Sea, yeah, the Under the Sea was part of that. You remember that they used area. To have the Pooh playground though, right across from Pooh.
Right. Where they
had
right Nautilus.
Across from Pooh is basically where it was.
Yeah.
Well, and they actually have a nod to the Nautilus carved on the inside of the treehouse that they moved over to that be like one of the icons of the Pooh ride.
Yeah. This is another weird segue, but thinking about Villains Land and all that, something I noticed riding the train from Frontierland to Fantasyland Station, you've got a lot of empty park that's basically backstage area. There's no restraints on the train. And every time we've gone through there, the cast members had to come over the loudspeaker to say, keep your arms and legs in the train, like, don't lean out of the train, or so. I'm like, how many times a day does somebody try to jump out of the train and, like, dive into the woods so that they can, like, sneak around?
Oh,
and when are they going to stop people from doing that? Or
I would hope they already have. They may have preemptively said.
Right, maybe. To deter people.
Because they know people are going to do it anyway.
Saying we're watching you. Because they put somebody in the caboose of the train to make sure if anybody jumps out that they'll spot it, obviously.
So just looking at the area right here, I think it's a little bit half and half. I think that Mermaid is probably deeper into the lagoon, but I feel like part of the lagoon has got to still be where the mine train currently is, part of it at least anyway.
Yeah.
And Dumbo used to be part of where mine train is too.
Right. Yeah, it was that right around kind of that area, yeah. Because, and also the speedway was much bigger.
Yeah, I think it might have actually been where the entrance to Enchanted Tales with Belle is. Would have probably been
Dumbo.
Yeah, before they moved it.
I do remember it being like right in the middle of this right in the middle of everything.
I remember listening to like background noise in the 87 video that we had, like the very first time we had a video camera that Mom borrowed, basically. Yeah. To take in the 87 video, like sitting there at one of those tables, hearing the squeakiness of that Dumbo. Like, it's like you hear how squeaky it was.
Sitting out in the rain for.
I think that was before they doubled the capacity, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It was only one. And I think even in 2001.
No, what I mean is they doubled the capacity of that single one because it wasn't as many Dumbos. Like, they actually had room to fit Dumbos in between those or something like that.
Oh, I see. Yeah. They spread them out.
From the original. Yeah.
Yeah.
They made them nose to tail. Originally, they weren't nose to tail.
Yes. So, last, just to wrap up time-wise, well, I was looking through, it's been a while since I've done this, the site where that has... this day in Disney history kind of stuff. So looking at stuff from this week, and this is September 30th, because I'm looking ahead to the next several days. Of course, the Walt Disney World Preview Center closed September 30th, 1971, because the next day, Disney World opened. So,
okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I wish I had gotten to see it, of course. That was a long time before I was born, but that would have been cool to go see that.
Given that is now, it's been open for 53 years coming up. So,
well, why couldn't it have been a preview center for everything that's coming up? Like, they have a big model of the stuff from D23. Like, wouldn't that be cool?
Are they even going to have a 55-year celebration, or are they going to drop the ball there? Because they used to do that every 5 years.
Oh, right, every five, yeah.
I'm saying, I mean, this is coming up on 53. Like, in two more years, is there even going to be anything that they're going to
55? Not much. It'll be, like, 45. I have a mug that says 45 on it.
I just feel like after so much time, if they just, like, stopped caring as much. Like, it used to be a big deal, like, each time one of the 5 year anniversaries would come along.
Yeah. Speaking of one of those anniversaries, 1991, U.S. current president at the time, George Bush and Barbara Bush, visited Epcot, and he spoke at the American Gardens Theater on September.
Covered or uncovered at that point?
Good question. 1991, it was probably
covered. I don't remember what it
was. September 30th, 1991. So I'm like, is that the last time a sitting president visited Disney World during their... That might be.
Well, I know another Bush has been there, at least his artwork.
Well,
I assume he was
right,
there.
His artwork. GW's artwork, but I'm trying to think. Has Disney ever hosted a president since then? I doubt it. Like a sitting president.
Yeah.
Like while he was in office. I don't know. Don't think so. I can't think of one, but anyway.
Well, the only time I can think of prior to that when they had anything was when Nixon resigned at the Contemporary, right?
Yeah, that was prior to that. So, presidents have visited Disney World, but anyway.
It says another notable history was supposedly John Lennon signed the papers to bring up the Beatles there at the Poly.
At the Poly, so wonder
supposedly.
What. Yes.
Could be legend. I don't know.
Yeah.
We know he was there.
Yes, and we know what room it was.
Right.
Later that same day, President Bush spoke at a luncheon at the Grand Harbor Ballroom at the Yacht and Beach Club. The private event was for participants of the Daily Points of
Light.
That had
just opened, hadn't it? Yonah Beach Club. It like just opened if it was 91.
Must have, yeah. But it is funny. The private event was for participants in the daily Points of Light celebration. Thousand points of light.
Yes.
Exactly.
Stay the course. 1,000 points of light.
Also, September 30th, 1993, General Electric's contract as sponsor of Horizons officially ended. Although GE decides not to continue sponsorship of Horizons, Disney continues to operate the attraction until its closing in 1994. What?
It didn't close in 94.
Did it close and reopen or something?
No.
Wonder why it said that. Because I know it kept going for years after that. That's weird.
Yes.
Top of the World, also known as the Top of the World Supper Club, closed at the Contemporary in 1993. It will become California Grill in May of 1995.
Hard to believe it's only been California Grill for not even 30 years yet.
Almost, so next year.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these, the names of them have changed over time.
Wow. So another, September 30th, 1997, Disney Cruise Line begins taking reservations for the Disney Magic.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then the Wonder was not long to follow a couple of years later. And then it would be a really long time before the next ship. 2010, actually, was the Dream, and 12 was the Fantasy.
Yeah. So it says on September 30th, 2003, Mickey's PhilharMagic, a new computer animated 3D film, opened to guests. It had an official ceremony a week later on October 8th, but it opened September 30th. It was also Michael Eisner's final day.
It was September 30th?
Yeah, in 2005.
It's probably because a lot of things happen on that day because it's the very last
end
day
of
the quarter, fiscal year.
Yeah, fiscal year, quarter.
Yeah. It's the very last day of the fiscal year. They start their year over the next day. So maybe that's it.
It was also the first day of Disney's 10th annual Food and Wine Festival on September 30th, 2005. It's amazing how much longer it is today. But
yeah. No, before it became Festival Cut.
Yep. Interesting that one particular day, I mean, you would think October 1st obviously would have a ton too, just because it's there's a lot there. But anyway.
I know it's practically impossible with the level of crowds these days, but I really wish they could have the double-decker buses back in World Showcase. That would be cool.
Yeah, it's too crowded.
You remember though, in the, I think it was like 94 when we were there, how they had that sponsorship or whatever they deal did they have with Barbie, and they actually had Barbie in Epcot, like Ken and Barbie and Skipper or whatever were driving around in that limo.
Yes.
In World Showcase.
I'm going to do a couple of October 1st because 1935, October 1, Julie Andrews was born. It's her birthday.
A Disney legend.
Yes. Disney legend herself. Apparently Randy Quaid also.
Is he a Disney legend? No.
Yeah, not a legend, but he was.
Has he done anything Disney? What was he in?
Home on the Range. In 2004.
Never saw it.
Yeah. Oddly enough.
Didn't Julie Andrews only do basically Mary Poppins, though? She never did anything else, did she?
Well, Princess Diaries.
Was voice? Oh, yeah.
Was Disney. Okay. And Princess Diaries 2.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm trying to think. Other than Mary Poppins.
That was enough, I guess, to get her legend status, but.
Because she won the Academy Award for Mary Poppins.
I guess that was back before you had people that, like, signed long-term contracts, it seemed, with Disney. Like, they had Kurt Russell, like, they owned his life, I think. For the
right.
First, like,
that was how studios did it back in the day when they would get an actor and keep him forever. But, you know, the opening, whatever it was, TV special for Disney World, Julie Andrews hosted it, basically, right? Or she kind of hosted it? I don't know. She did a lot in it, so she has some Disney ties, besides Mary Poppins, and a few others, maybe. Mickey Mouse appeared on the cover of TV Guide for the first time in 1955 on October 1st, right before the Mickey Mouse Club debuted October 3rd. So,
of 1955?
1955, yeah.
So the Mickey Mouse Club was not even around before Disneyland? Huh. Interesting.
It says in 1966, October 1st, in New York, Walt Disney accepts the Showman of the World Award from the National Association of Theater Owners. One of his last awards probably he ever received, I guess.
Had to have been.
If not the last, I don't know. Zach Galifianakis was born October 1st, 1969.
What does that have to do with Disney?
I'm trying to think. It shows...
With his show on ABC, right?
Or... I guess, yeah. Baskets. I don't know. What has he done? Oh, he's been in a couple of Muppets films, too. Muppets. The okay. Muppets and The Muppets Most Wanted. Wrinkle in yeah. Time. He was in Wrinkle in Time. Which... Oh, and he's got several Touchstone credits. Bubble Boy, Corky Romano, Out Cold.
Anyway. Okay. Those were major Touchstone hits.
Right. Almost 10,000 visitors converged near Orlando, Florida to witness the grand opening of Walt Disney World, October 1st, 1971, which includes Magic Kingdom and two resorts.
Just and two?
It says in 1972, nearly 11 million people had visited Walt Disney World since its opening. That's like bad numbers in this
day and age.
Day and age, yeah. 11 million people
wait,
a year.
I thought they opened with the Poly Contemporary and the Golf Resort or whatever. They didn't open with three?
I'd have to see when the Golf Resort opened, but it looks like...
That was
like
one of the earlier ones, wasn't it?
It says here just two resorts, but...
Okay.
We'll see when it... Maybe it opened later. Let's see... 1979, October 1st, ground is broken for Epcot Center and Walt Disney World. The ceremony... Dang. It's amazing how much faster, because it took 3 years then to build Epcot. If groundbreaking was 3 years to the day before it opened, it would take 10 years now to build it.
To make an entire park,
to
you
build
think?
Something like Epcot, yeah. Anyway, it'd be more than three.
When did they break ground on the studios?
That's a good question.
I don't think they broke ground on the studios all that early.
Yeah, they built that park in a hurry, though. I think that was Eisner trying to get it open quick.
I don't think it was. I think it was in the same similar time frame to Epcot.
Right. Because 1979 and 1982, October 1st, Epcot's grand opening.
Also, technically, though, Epcot opened without all of its attractions open.
Yeah. So it says here, 100 television crews from all over the world covered the event. Bands and orchestras played to huge crowds at Walt Disney's, and Walt Disney's wife Lillian helped in the dedication of Spaceship Earth. The park itself was officially dedicated October 24th, kind of like Magic Kingdom back in 71 was. Epcot is an acronym coined by Walt, yes, as we know, Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow, and it's Disney's third theme park worldwide at the time. And then Horizons opened 1983, October 1st. 1986, hey, I was born for that. The 15th anniversary began.
Living Seas also opened.
Doesn't say October 1, though.
Did it open October 1? I think it opened in 86, though.
It was, yeah. Right. Caribbean Beach Resort opened October 1st, 1988.
I knew it was 88.
Yeah.
And then it costs like roughly the same price as you could get like, I don't know, a really crappy motel today.
Right.
It was something like $59 a night or something. It was something like that.
Well, I remember, you know, your mom said Contemporary was like $40 a night in 1971 or two, whatever.
Yeah.
When she went. Yeah, because she said Poly was slightly cheaper, right? If I remember right, it was Contemporary was the more.
It may have been what it was back then. It eventually shifted.
Yeah. But Contemporary was the flagship. They talk way more about Contemporary. I think.
I really don't understand why Floridian's the flagship now, but, you know,
whatever.
It doesn't seem to have anything, any that's above the others is what I'm trying to say, the other deluxes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's still the flagship, but, yeah. In 1982, Splash Mountain opened in Tokyo on October 1st. October 1, 92, Aladdin was released on VHS for the first time.
Really?
Oh, that's 93.
Well, I was about to say, it can't be 92 because it's like it was out in like December of 92 is when the film was released.
It says in its first week of availability, Aladdin sold over 10.6 million VHS copies. Anyway.
It was big on VHS, yeah, I'm sure.
Disney Channel launched in the UK October 1st, 1995. Vero Beach Resort opened in 1995 on October 1st. The new Imagination Pavilion, formerly Journey into Imagination, opened 1999 October 1st.
And then it closed like before the next year. I can't remember. It was that long. It didn't even last a year.
Yeah.
Before they reimagined it to have Figment.
Wow. Royal Disney statue debuted at Magic Kingdom. The one that's there now with him and Minnie is October 1, 1999. Anyway, so a lot has happened on October 1st. I think that's a wrap on this episode. So where can we be found out there?
We are on Facebook, X, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We have a YouTube channel in which you can get your exclusive. Yeah, you can get your exclusive videos from our past. They are exclusive because, you know, we own them.
Yeah.
So where can you find that at?
Our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. We have links to our other merch site there as well, where you can get the Challenge Runner shirt. So, for John, my name is Adam. This has been Traveling with the Mouse. We hope you will join us on our next trip.
Trippy.
Very trippy. To the past.